at least this game isn't in the state of Pennsylvania, so I don't think that they'll get blown out.
Welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of your favorite Falcons fan site, The Falcoholic. I am DW, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, the Jume, Petter of Dogs versus Rename, the Daenerys Targaryen, the Falcon Squither, the Quick Draw McGraw, Facebook Messenger, the Trash Talker Supreme, she who will not be bossed, Gina Mad Online Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, David, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm now aiming for speed reading your nicknames to save time on the podcast. And I feel like I'm...
Yeah, it works. And since this was going to be a shorter podcast, you don't want my nicknames to take up the entire time. So I think that's
fine. We do have to keep it condensed and focused. So on that note, joining us today is one of our fellow writers. He is the host of The Falcoholic Live, which you guys can see weekly on Facebook Live. Of course, we are talking about the one, the only, Kevin Knight. Kevin, how are you doing, man?
Good, good. Glad to get on the show. I guess it's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've been on, so.
It has, yeah. We've oftentimes record at the same time, so that has not allowed for this, but I'm glad we could get you back on.
Absolutely.
All right, so we've had a week off. The Falcons have had a week off, and we now have a game in front of us. The Falcons, for those who are wondering, are 3-4. They have won two in a row, including a nail-biting win against the Giants, even when it shouldn't have been as close as it was. And this is a team that, despite the numerous injuries, is somehow still potentially in the run for the playoffs. And if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to start this weekend. And of course, they've got a very, very tough matchup going up against the team in Washington. So this weekend, they will go up against that DC team. I'm not saying their team name. You guys can take that for what you will, but we will not be saying it on the podcast. We'll just refer to them as the Washington team. They currently have one of the best defenses in the NFL. I believe they are, I want to say, top two, top three right now. They've got an offense that is led by Alex Smith, so you can probably predict what that looks like. And the Falcons have a very, very good offense this year, and yet again, mainly due to injuries, a bottom five defense at this point. So, Gina, I'm going to start with you first on this one. As we look forward to this game, and knowing who the Falcons have lost on offense now, let's start with the Falcons offense going up against this Washington defense. Knowing who the Falcons have lost on offense, they lost early on in the season starting left guard Andy Leitre. In the Giants game, they lost for the season starting right guard Brandon Fusco. They have lost Devontae Freeman for the season, who is on injured reserve. And at this point, I didn't hear, it sounded like Sanu has not practiced this week. I didn't hear if he had today or not, but what do you think about this matchup, this Falcons offense going on the road, going up against this highly rated Washington defense?
Yeah, I mean, I know that Dan Quinn said this week that getting the run game going was going to be an emphasis, but Quinn also noted that the interior defensive line for Washington is really stout and it's not going to be easy sledding for them. So, you know, I wouldn't get your hopes up too high about seeing Tevin and Ito put up a bunch of yards on the ground. I think we might see those guys more involved in the passing game just out of necessity. But right. Yeah, this Washington team is actually pretty well-rounded. They've played really well, and on defense especially, I think that the defense is kind of the driving force that's propelling them to more success than they've enjoyed in recent years. So, it's one that I'm a little bit anxious about, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I had written last week during the bye week that in order for the Falcons to go on a run to make it to the playoffs and get potentially to a 10-6 record, they had to win this game. And this arguably is going to be one of their toughest games this year. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to start a big run in the second half of the year, it really has to start here, and they probably couldn't have drawn a worse matchup from that standpoint. So, Kevin, as you look at some of these players on the Washington defense, they've got some really good players. It's not like they have guys that are necessarily dominant. You know, as I look at their defensive line, I don't see necessarily an Aaron Donald type of player or a Fletcher Cox type of player, but they don't seem to have any gaps. They don't seem to have any, you know, noticeably bad players that are taking up any spots. What do you think about this Washington defense and the fact that they are one of the best against the run, and even on the back end with guys like DJ Swearinger, you know, Josh Norman, they do a fairly good job against the pass as well. What is your assessment of this Washington defense and how Atlanta matches up?
It's going to be a tough matchup for the Falcons. I mean, there's no way of getting around that. That Washington is very stout up front. Like you said, they don't really have like huge names, but you know, guys like Daron Payne, who was someone that Falcons fans were really interested in the draft, and you know, Jonathan Allen, I believe a top five or top six pick from last year. Or at least was worthy of that pick in my opinion last year, that was injured, but just up and down, they're very solid at worst everywhere on that defensive line. The secondary is probably the weak point on defense, but they still have some talented players there. Obviously, DJ Swearinger is great against the run, very opportunistic as well. Josh Norman, we all know who he is. And then they did just trade for HaHa Clinton Dix, although I wouldn't expect him to be fully acclimated at this point. He will play more than likely, but you know, I think it's going to, there'll be some growing pains for him in this game. But like you mentioned, like the Falcons are not going to be able to run on this Washington team. They're going to need to pass. And I think they can find some success there, but it's going to be tough, particularly with, you know, yet another offensive lineman for the Falcons going on IR in Brandon Fusco. So now they're going to have to face up against this Washington D-line with, you know, Wes Schweitzer and Ben Garland as their two guards. Not a great look, and that really is going to be the key to this Falcons team, is can they protect Ryan on Sunday? If the answer is yes, I think they've got a decent shot of going in there and pulling off the upset, but if they can't protect Matt Ryan, it's going to be not a very fun game to watch.
Yeah. Gina, Kevin just brought up a really good point, and we have talked about this in the past, that last year during the playoff run, the last few games of the regular season and then into the playoffs for Falcons, it was the guard play that really sort of set back the offense at that point. Mm-hmm. It was, except at that point, it was Wes Schweitzer at right guard and Ben Garland at left guard at that point. They've obviously flip-flopped due to the nature of the injuries this year. But when you think about those two guys, and then even, you know, someone like Ryan Schrader, who has struggled at least so far this year, does that give you pause about whether the Falcons offense can get going with an offensive line like this?
Well, I do want to address Schrader specifically. You know, a couple of people have asked me about the decline in Schrader's play. So I've looked at some, not all of the all 22. And what I think is happening is primarily that he's compensating for weakness at the right guard position. So I don't really anticipate that getting much better until the two guards settle in. I really can't emphasize enough, you know, I know that I'm always the one beating the drum for the offensive line on our staff. My dad was an offensive line coach when I was growing up. It's the position I know, position group I know the most about, whatever. But I really cannot emphasize enough how important chemistry is for that unit. And so anytime you're switching out players, it's a problem. And when you've got newcomers at both guard positions, then that's even worse because you're creating instability for Alex Mack. That's more than he can really compensate for. And then also for both tackles. So it just disrupts the whole thing. You know, I am just hoping that they settle in week to week and start to develop more chemistry, refine their communication, all those kinds of things. But we're still pretty early in the process after having lost Fusco and Levitre. And so, you know, what I'm saying is I would not expect them to come out and look like the 2016 offensive line this week.
Yeah. I do want to point out one thing, and I think we all said or saw this after the Giants game, but to his credit, When Ben Garland came in and substituted in at right guard after Fusco's injury, he actually played fairly well in that game, and in some ways may have played better than Fusco had been playing up to that point. So let's cross our fingers and hope that that trend continues into this weekend, because we certainly need a little bit more stability on this offensive line than we've had this year. So as we look at the offensive weapons, and Kevin, I'll go to you on this one. You know, I mentioned Josh Norman. Obviously, Swearinger is a little bit more of a box safety. They brought in HaHa Clinton Dix, traded for him from Green Bay. It's unclear how much he will actually play this weekend. I don't think they've said one way or the other, but he's a fairly good coverage safety. The Falcons have seen him and abused him in times past. but as I look at their depth chart, so you've got Greg Stroman, who I believe is a rookie this year, not playing particularly well. And you've got Fabian Moreau, and I think he is a second-year player. And again, you know, not really a great corner playing in the slot. When you think about this matchup, Jones, Ridley, Sanu, do you feel like this is the one area the Falcons can succeed in, is in the passing game against these corners?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the area that they will have to win. And, you know, that goes hand in hand with the pass protection, but that's where they're going to beat Washington. And the key to beating Washington, like beating any team that relies on their defense and running game, is to get out to an early lead. Also, you can try to bank on Washington playing poorly, because they are a very up and down, inconsistent team. They have played they've played better more often than they've played poorly, but you know, they did get dominated by the Colts early in the year, which was, you know, a little bit unusual. And they have looked not sharp at all in a couple of their games. So, you know, they barely beat the Giants as well last week. So, for Washington, it's all about, you know, they want to control the clock and grind you down with Adrian Peterson. For the Falcons, it's going to be all about taking advantage of those corners. You know, Bashaud Breeland, you know, he's no longer there. He was one of their better corners. And then they also had the guy they traded to the Chiefs in the Alex Smith trade. I can't remember his name now, but he was, you know, also a very good player. So now they're basically down to Josh Norman as their one really dependable corner. DJ Swearinger obviously is a very good box safety, and he can cover tight ends and stuff like that. But, you know, I think Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones are just too much for those corners to handle. Mohamed Sanu as well. Josh Norman is really their only dependable cornerback. So, and I don't think he travels with anyone. So, I mean, the Falcons could easily manipulate their receivers to get Julio into favorable matchups. So, again, pass protection will be key.
Yep. And to that end, the Falcons will have to go up against Ryan Kerrigan, who is a very good player and has had some good games against the Falcons in the past, and Preston Smith, who I believe leads the team in sacks right now at the other side of the outside linebacker position. So this is going to be a tough matchup for the offense. And unfortunately, we have to flip the script and talk a little bit about the other aspect of Falcons and the Washington team, and that is the Falcons defense going up against this Alex Smith-led offense. So, Gene, I'm going to go to you here first. We know now that Robert Alford is confirmed that he will miss Sunday's game against Washington, which likely means rookie Isaiah Oliver will step into his role, or Brian Poole as the starter, which is probably most likely. But again, given that the Falcons run their defense 60%+ out of nickel, we will probably see a good bit of Isaiah Oliver this weekend. Now, looking at the Washington offense, obviously, you know, the big pickup for them was Alex Smith. They do have some interesting offensive pieces. Obviously, Kevin mentioned Adrian Peterson, who has had a sort of resurgent season. They've got Paul Richardson Jr. at wide receiver. Josh Dotson, who has maybe not quite lived up to the hopes they have for him. Jordan Reed, who is good when he's healthy. And then the offensive line that has some good players, but also has some weaknesses. So as you look forward to this, or maybe not look forward, maybe you don't look forward to seeing the Falcons defense on Sunday, but as you think about this Falcons defense going up against this Washington offense, do you feel like this is a matchup at least where it's not the Saints offense, it's not, you know, one of these top five offenses? Is this an offense that they can maybe slow down at least?
I mean, it's going to be a challenge, especially with Alfred out. You know, already one of the biggest problems with the pass rush is that coverage has been spotty at best. And so I think that that is an issue. And I think Quinn did say that Oliver was going to start for Alfred. I would have to look that up to be sure, but I'm pretty sure that he did. So I think he will probably be starting outside and we'll see plenty of him. Poole will probably stay in the nickel where he really thrives. You know, I think that Alex Smith is kind of underrated because he doesn't have a big arm. You know, he's not a deep ball guy except for against the Patriots in week one of last season, apparently. But he doesn't make mistakes with football. You know, I think that that's probably his best attribute. Like, he's a boring as hell quarterback to watch. Don't get me wrong, because he's very milquetoast, but he doesn't make mistakes with football. He has so few turnovers every year, and he always puts up decent stats, even on those shorter passes. He's very efficient and very effective. And then Adrian Peterson is about 180 years old, but he's still putting up fantasy points on my roster. So, I mean, he must be getting it done. I admittedly have not watched very much Washington football this year, but he seems to be doing okay. And so I think that, you know, when you look at the fact that the Falcons have not been able to get any kind of pressure on any quarterback, Alex Smith is pretty elusive, can make plays with his legs. And then the fact that Adrian Peterson still somehow magically has the ability to run all over people. Yeah, I'm low-key terrified about what this defense will do. I just, you know, I think that I'm hoping that they come out and just play adequate football. That's really all I'm asking.
Yeah, and Jamison Crowder is confirmed to be out as well, and Chris Thompson is looking very doubtful at best. So they will be down a lot of their weapons in the receiving game. So it's really going to, I think, come down to Adrian Peterson. Like, can they stop him? And they did stop Saquon Barkley, so there's a little bit of hope, yes. Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point, and I wanted to bring that up as well, because a lot of fans pointed out accurately that against the Giants, Saquon is their offense, since Eli doesn't like to throw it past 5 yards anymore. But the Falcons did a really good job of shutting him down. I don't think he even got over 50 yards rushing, if I remember right. And a lot of that can be attributed to Grady Jarrett being back in the lineup after missing a few games. Deidrin Sinnott has quietly been putting in a very, very good rookie season as a mid-round draft pick, and you know, next to Jarrett in the middle, and Jack Crawford, I think, has been playing very well in that defensive tackle position in the nickel set. So, Kevin, as you think about some of these guys, in particular, some of the young guys, you know, like I mentioned, Sinnott, we haven't mentioned Olakun, who has been playing a lot of snaps at linebacker. Obviously, Demonte Kazee at free safety has been a revelation this year. Are these guys, these young guys who are sort of stepping up in the midst of these gaps that we have on our defense, are they enough to keep Washington from putting another 30 burger on this defense?
I mean, if Washington puts up 30, the Falcons are losing this game more than likely. So hopefully they can. But the Falcons still gave up yards to the Giants. They just didn't give up the points, which is a step in the right direction. But Washington's offensive line is a lot better than the Giants. The Giants was just god awful. Now Trent Williams does have some sort of thumb injury, so he's been limited, but he's going to play. I don't know how much that's really going to affect anything. Maybe it'll just make it harder for him to hold on to people. But I mean, the Falcons, like, Deidrin Sinnott's been very good. That was a great draft pick. Foye Oluokun has been playing better. You know, we're going to see Isaiah Oliver more, so hopefully he can start to show some return on that second round pick. I wouldn't be too worried about him, even if he looks, you know, poor in this game. But
right,
you know, basically, if this team wants to compete for a playoff spot, the defense has to keep making improvements every single week. We've seen them do this before. 2016 comes to mind as an example where they started off just god awful and kind of had to dig themselves out of that statistical hole all season. And by the time they made it by the time they got in the playoffs, the defense was playing great football. So, you know, there's a chance that could happen. You know, I think if Deion Jones is able to come back at some point, that will be a big boost to this team. He's just kind of he's like the Sean Lee of this defense. Like, as soon as Sean Lee goes out of that Cowboys defense, they just immediately turn to crap. Yep. And I think Deion Jones is kind of the same thing in this defense. Just a player that's so important that losing him is just devastating to the unit overall. So, in order for that to matter, Deion Jones coming back, they kind of have to win this game. Because if they don't, that means, okay, you've got one more loss all season to that you can handle. And, you know, the ending part of the schedule is manageable, but, you know, I think they basically have to go 6-4 heading into New Orleans for them to have a realistic shot at finishing at 10-6.
Yep. No, I agree. And I think many fans who have looked ahead to the schedule saw this game and sort of cringed, especially when you consider the number of close games we had, even with the injuries. I mean, honestly, you know, Gina, if I think about this, it's easy to get caught up in the number of points given up in the statistics, but outside of the Pittsburgh game, the Falcons have been close in every single game that they've played, even the losses. They were close, obviously, went to overtime with New Orleans. They were very, very close in the game with Cincinnati. And, of course, they were very close, again, almost winning in the end against Philadelphia. So even though this team is 3-4, many people have argued they could easily have had 4 or 5, potentially 6 wins at this point, which would be ridiculous with the number of injuries. Do you think the fact that they have kept so many of these games close, even with these injuries, should give fans hope? Or is that something that you think is really more indicative of the quality of the teams that they were playing?
Well, you know, I think that if you look at this Falcons team from 2008 until today, the Matt Ryan era, you know, you look at Matt Ryan's number of late game comeback wins. I think that this is just a team that has had a defense for a very long time, for the most part, that lets opponents hang around. And there have been seasons in which the Falcons have had a lot of lucky bounces and had those close games go their way. And I think that this year, luck's just not on their side. And so I think that it's more that than anything else. I mean, you know, this is a team that seems to be prone to close games. Hopefully after the bye, the tides will turn and they'll actually start winning those close matchups again.
Yeah. And I think you could argue that this game has the potential to be yet another very close game, close matchup, and another potential nail biter. If you guys don't drink, you should.
might want to start.
It's a good time to start.
And then you will know you're truly part of the Falcoholic family. So we've looked at the offense, we've looked at the defense, the matchups they have coming up. Gina, who is the one player on either roster that you think is going to be the difference maker in this game?
That's a very good question. I am going to say Grady Jarrett, because, you know, if you look at the way the defense performed without him on the field when he was sidelined with the ankle injury, we saw a real decline in their ability to defend the run. And so I think, you know, having Grady out there against Adrian Peterson, I think that that's going to make a difference. So I think that defensively, you know, there are very few bright spots left. Grady is definitely one. Like, that's not open to debate. And so I'm going to say Grady.
All right. Kevin, who is the one name you're going to be watching very keenly this weekend?
Well, I'm going to use a cop out and make it two, but it's the two guards. So Schweitzer and Garland, like you said, Garland did step in and play well for Fusco last week. And I think truly that Garland is a very, very good spot starter, but I think he has exploitable weaknesses. And I think when teams get a chance to really game plan against him, they're able to take advantage of that. Whereas if he's, you know, coming in as a spot starter for a game or two, it's not as much of a big deal. We'll see. But really, this game is going to come down to, can the Falcons protect Matt Ryan? And it all starts up front with those two guards and whether or not they can get it done.
Yep. Both very good picks. I'm going to go with a very random name here. I'm going to go with Sean Neesman, who has been getting a lot more snaps in recent weeks. He actually got more snaps for those who are on the anti-Jordan Richards train. I know Kevin is definitely on that train. Neesman did get more snaps than him against the Giants and seemed to play decently. Maybe not great, but at least was not a rolling disaster on the field. The Falcons seemed to have liked what he did to give him more snaps, and he could be a big factor in this defense, and especially with the potential matchup against Jordan Reed, who figures to be a likely frequent target of Alex Smith. So I'm going to be watching Neesman to see how he plays, because this could be a factor for him being on the roster in the future as a backup to Keanu Neal once he returns. So, all right, with that said, let's get our predictions for this game and what this could mean for the rest of the season. So, Kevin, I'm going to start with you. How do you see this one playing out on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I picked on Falcoholic Live on Wednesday. I picked definitely check that out, by the way, shout out. Hashtag humblebrag. Definitely check that show out too. But I predicted a 24-17, and you know, that's very rosy. You know, I'm kind of feeling maybe like a little bad about that, but I'm sticking with it. I gotta like stick with, you know, picking the Falcons to win. So pretty sure I picked the Falcons to lose in our weekly picks. So I've hedged my bets a little bit here, but you know, I think they have a shot, and they really have to win this game. It's coming off a bye where Dan Quinn hasn't been great, but like, you've had 2 weeks to prepare for this team. You just basically have to stop Adrian Peterson and protect Matt Ryan, and you win. And there's always a chance that Washington just craps the bed, which they've done a couple times this season. So that's what I'm hoping for on Sunday.
All right, Gina, how do you see this one playing out?
I think we're looking at a final score of 27-24 Falcons. I think that, you know, the Falcons have not played terribly well on the road, but at least this game isn't in the state of Pennsylvania, so I don't think that they'll get blown out. Yeah, I think that it's going to be a close one. I think that there will be a lot of swearing for me on Twitter and a lot of consternation, as usual. But I think that they do come away with a very close win. I think that we will also be cussing a lot about defensive play and giving up big plays. But, you know, that's pretty much an every week occurrence. So.
I'm with you guys. I think the Falcons do pull out the narrow victory. I think it's going to be a nail biter, 21-20, with the Falcons doing a good job against AP and really limiting their offense. Because I think Alex Smith, when he doesn't have a strong run game to rely on, is not the guy you necessarily want throwing it 40 times a game. So I feel like if they're going to make a playoff run, which we are, I think even within the Falcoholic Riders chat, we're sort of split on whether that's going to happen or not. it has to start here. So if they're going to get to a winning season and make it back to the playoffs, they can't afford to drop this one. As Kevin, as you noted, coming off of the bye week, there's no excuses for this one. So with that said, Kevin, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, what you're up to?
I'm on Twitter, @FalcoholicKevin. The Falcoholic Live is the other show that we do. It's on Facebook Live for now. Facebook Live is testing my patience every week, so we may go to a better platform at some point in the future. But the show is on Twitter, @FalcoholicLive. It's up on the Falcoholic's Facebook page. And, you know, you can, if you just follow me, I'm sure you'll get, you know, a million updates about that. But I also do still write, you know, from time to time on thefalcoholic.com. And, you know, I'll probably have some stuff about the game this weekend up there. And Baker's dozen every week. And yeah, other good stuff. And just check out the site. There's a lot of other great writers putting out so much content that I don't even need to write an article every day anymore. Like, Dave's just like, nah, we don't need you. We don't need you anymore. So these other people, they're just so good. You know, I just don't even know what to say. So definitely check that out.
Truly one of the best writing staffs in all of SB Nation. So Gina, tell our listeners where they can find you and what you've got going on.
First of all, don't downplay our staff. Like, it's one of the best writing staffs in the universe. Okay, so let's get that correct.
Oh, wow.
And I do want to throw out a supplemental prediction. I think Julio Jones scores a touchdown this week.
Nice. I'm gonna
put that out into the universe. You can find me on Twitter @GinaThomas. If you're politically inclined, you might want to hold, or if you're not politically inclined, you might want to hold off until after the election. Because I'm sure that I will be yelling about politics over the next week or so. You can also find me at The Falcoholic, where I do write occasionally, and on Fox 5 Atlanta on Thursday nights on a show called Thursday Night Kickoff, where I ask a question every week on Twitter, and it's a fun question looking for fun answers, not serious answers. And then I read some tweets for Gina's mailbag. So that's pretty much what I'm up to these days.
Awesome. Yes. Yep. And you guys have to check that out. Some of the Falcoholic writers, I'm not going to say who, have been featured on those segments. Check thefalcoholic.com for those. And of course, follow Gina for her updates when those segments come out. So as always, guys, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW and my write-ups at thefalcoholic.com. And of course, here every week with the Falcoholic podcast. So for Kevin Knight and Gina Thomas, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will talk with you next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.